This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The U.S. Department of Commerce says women make up about 48% of the nation's workforce. But when it comes to careers in STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math, that number drops to 26%. In West Virginia, the number of women is about the same. A program at West Virginia University Institute of Technology is hoping to change that, though, by reaching out to girls interested in science and math who may also have a hard time finding female role models in their areas. Ashton Mara visited WVU Tech's first ever all-girls STEM camp and brings us this report.
I've never been to any camp at all before. So this is my first one ever.
Laura Dean is a 17-year-old, soon-to-be senior at Buchanan Upshur High School. She's sitting around a table with her teammates, Becca Williams from Bunker Hill and Sarah Williams from Huntington, putting the finishing touches on a pair of sandals constructed entirely from cardstock, duct tape, and wood glue. Sarah explains.
They're fairy shoes because we kind of think they make them look like fairies, but our group did more math than everybody.
Math because this group of high school girls wasn't challenged to just design a pair of shoes. They were tasked with designing shoes at least 1 inch in height out of paper that would hold under the weight of a team member as she walked a 20-foot runway. It's a lesson in math, yes, but also in biomechanics and gravitational force. Those lessons, along with others in robotics, biology, and chemical engineering, just to name a few, are all things Kimberlyn Gray says the girls are being exposed to during their week-long stay on the campus of WVU Tech in Montgomery. Gray, an assistant professor of chemical engineering at the school, directs the all-girls camp Laura, Becca, and Sarah are participating in. It's focused on sparking the interest of girls who are excelling in science and math in their high schools and inspiring them, hopefully, Gray says, to go into a STEM field.
There's still a large gap in the number of women that are in engineering. We're not seeing as many women go into engineering and stay in engineering. And one of the things that a lot of research has shown when people have looked into why is that people are more likely to go into things where they have role models and mentors that have already done those kinds of things.
17-year-old camper Laura Dean agrees. Female role models are hard to find.
A lot of people in my school, I don't think they're really into engineering. So it's just, I can't point out in my community and say, I want to be like her.
In addition to their lessons in various engineering and science fields, the group of 24 girls is interacting with college students majoring in STEM, with female professors from the university, and professionals brought in as guest speakers. Kayla Bavard, a senior mechanical engineering student at WVU Tech and a STEM camp counselor, is one of those women sharing her experience in the classroom.
Going into a field where, like, I'm the only girl in a class, I really felt pressured to, like, get good grades, because if someone got a C on a test, it was like, oh, well, you got, like, the average test grade. But if I got a C on the test, it's like, well, there are so many guys that are better than you.
Bavard stresses her professors aren't intentionally making her feel inadequate, but the data shows her experience in the classroom transitions to the workplace as well. A 2013 U.S. Census Bureau report says men are twice as likely to be employed in STEM fields. One in five female science and engineering graduates are out of the labor force, compared to one in 10 men. That's why Professor Gray says it's so important for the campers to be exposed to the possibilities that are out there and inspire them to pursue STEM careers, even if they have to break ceilings in the process. Campers have also been assigned a week-long project choosing a STEM field of interest, researching careers available in that field, and planning both the high school and college courses that will take them there.
And it's a, we want you to know, these are the really cool things. What is it you found that you are passionate about and you want to do, and then let's give you some idea of how to get there.
As for Team Fairy, Laura, Becca, and Sarah, their fairy-themed paper shoes immediately crushed under Sarah's weight at the runway competition, as did many of the other teams. Laura says it doesn't matter, though. She's still considering a career in civil engineering, which the camp has shown her is possible. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Montgomery.
Two math and science teachers in West Virginia have received a prestigious award. Pete Karpik of Weir High School and Eric Kincaid from Morgantown High School have each received the Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science Teaching. This is awarded annually to outstanding K through 12 science and mathematics teachers from across the country. The winners are selected by a panel of distinguished scientists, mathematicians, and educators following an initial selection process done at the state level. Each year, the award alternates between teachers teaching kindergarten through sixth grade and those teaching seventh through 12th grades. The awardees named today teach seventh through 12th grades. In a statement, President Obama said their leadership and commitment empower children to think critically and creatively about science, technology, engineering, and math. The work these teachers are doing in classrooms today will help ensure that America stays on the cutting edge tomorrow. Winners of this presidential honor receive a $10,000 award from the National Science Foundation to be used at their discretion. They're also invited to Washington, D.C. for an award ceremony. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:50. Dense fog this morning, rain and thunderstorms in the forecast today, tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday. Highs in the 70s with lows in the 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Employer services at wvdrs.org.
Thirty years ago this week, a Charleston native caused a sensation when she played her first round at the Wimbledon Championships at the All England Club near London. Now, to truly understand this story, I urge you to go to our website and look at the picture of a 24-year-old Anne White in 1985. She's wearing an all-white full bodysuit. Now living in Los Angeles, White explains that it all began because she liked to wear runner's tights when she practiced and played.
You know, for the winter season, I would wear them when I'd go play in the indoor tournaments, and I'm quite tall. I'm about 5'10 and a half, and they kept my legs warm, and so I loved wearing these tights and, you know, trained in them and in the winter and really felt that they kept my legs really loose and they didn't stiff up, tighten up. One day, Ian and I were at the beach, and as a joke, I said, can you imagine, you know, a white bodysuit at Wimbledon? And you have to remember this was 1985, so this was quite a kind of, I guess you could say, an offbeat idea at the time. Today wouldn't be such a big deal.
The white bodysuit was actually made by Nike, but White was under contract to sportswear maker Pony at the time. Friends at Nike had the suit made in Italy and shipped it to her in London. She sewed the Pony patches on by hand and was ready to walk on the court for the first round against Pam Shriver.
The rule of the All England Club states what is predominantly tennis attire, white tennis attire, which is suitable in the eyes of the All England Club. So predominantly white tennis attire, in their eyes and my eyes are obviously two different things. So it definitely was all white. But anyhow, so once you play one point in a match, they can't ask you to change clothes. And so I started out in a tracksuit. I went on the court and like two of my friends, my doubles partner, knew at the time, and they were in the stands watching, and we warmed up, and I was in a tracksuit, so nobody knew but my two buddies, and I literally thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was like, oh, my God, what have I done? And so then the umpire said, prepare to play, and I took off the tracksuit, and I looked up at him in a chair, and he turned bright, bright red, and I, you know, he didn't know what to do, and then we started playing, and so I was so nervous, Pam Shriver served the first game, and I hit balls off the frame and was just not playing well at all because I was so nervous. And then settled down, and within, you know, a few minutes, you know, the court was, you know, crazy with photographers and all that. And so I lost the first set, and then I came back to win the second set and started playing really, really well. And won that second set 7-6, and then the match got called due to darkness. So Alan Mills, who was the referee at the time, came over to the court, and he sort of walked me off the court, and sort of I felt like I was going to the principal's office. But he basically said to me, "Ann, you know, we have to ask you not to wear that again." And I was like, okay, it's your club, it's your rules. And, you know, I was sort of petrified they might, you know, give me a major fine of $50,000 or, you know, it was their club. I didn't know what they could do. So I, you know, obeyed the rules. And the next day I wore regular attire, skirt and a top, and lost in three sets, 6-3. But, you know, the whole genesis for the bodysuit was, you know, players hadn't really thought about wearing clothing to increase their performance. And I think now, you know, swimmers wear the suits. All the fabrics have changed to really enhance performance in all sports.
Her attire caused an immediate sensation at the rather formal All England Tennis Club.
The next day, I just remembered I was on the front page of every newspaper in London, and, you know, it was kind of a trip because I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is really... You have no idea when you do something. I mean, it was definitely controversial, and no question, I was 24 years old and a little bit of a maverick, and I had an idea, and I wanted to see if I could pull it off.
And Ann White still has that famous white bodysuit. She retired from professional tennis in 1990. Tiger Woods is looking to avoid another dubious footnote of the Greenbrier Classic. When play starts today on the Old White TPC course in White Sulphur Springs, Woods will try to steer clear of missing the cut in consecutive tournaments. That hasn't happened to Woods since 1994, when he failed to advance to the weekend in all three PGA Tour events he entered. Woods has only broken 70, only twice in 16 rounds this season. At the U.S. Open 2 weeks ago, he posted the highest 36 hole score of his pro career. Travelers Championship winner Bubba Watson is the highest ranked player in the Greenbrier field at number 3 in the world. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.